41,000 Syracuse residents were below the poverty line in 2016.
At its core, poverty is about pushing down instead of having an opportunity to go up.
It's, generally speaking, lack of access to opportunity.
This is City Limits, a poverty project.
I'm Brian Moore, and welcome to City Limits. For those of you who haven't had the chance to listen to part one of my report on welfare and public policy, I would encourage you to do so. In part two, we begin by looking at the correlation between policies and the effects they can have on people's, particularly those in poverty, lives. For this, I needed someone who has expertise on the issue of poverty, a poverty expert, if you will.
Policy, from a historical perspective, has been known to be used as a tool for separation and to really repress or suppress a certain segment of the population.
Osha Keaton is executive director of the Syracuse Hope Project and has been a guest on a number of previous City Limits episodes. She gives the following example to illustrate her point. Suppose you live on the north side of Syracuse and you have to catch numerous buses for a job you work at, say, in East Syracuse. As a result of federal budget cuts, state budget reductions occur, which ultimately leads to bus lines being cut, which can have huge consequences for someone without transportation.
Well, now this particular individual has to walk, and so that's going to slow them down. So where it was kind of a seamless transition, now they have to wake up even earlier to try to walk to get to the next place where they could catch the bus, where before maybe they was riding another bus. So then from there, they finally make it to work after they thought about all the alternate ways that they had to take to get to work. So they get there, they work their shifts, and then they get off. But let's say this is a second shift worker, so they're getting off about, what, 1:30 maybe? Well, now Central doesn't run past 12:30, and you're in East Syracuse. How are you getting home? Pretty soon that person is either going to get fed up and maybe quit or get fired because now the employer is looking at this person like, oh, you got a problem with attendance. Either you're absent or you're always late.
I have the highest concentration of poverty for people of color in the whole entire country, in my assembly district, in the entire country.
Many of those receiving services locally live in New York State Assemblywoman Pam Hunter's 128th district. And as a lawmaker whose decisions have a direct effect, she is very aware of the barrier lack of transportation imposes on some of her constituents.
Transportation is the number one issue for people to retain employment or to gain employment because they either can't get to work or they can't keep the job because they can't continue to getting to work. That's a huge number one concern with employers is that people can't get to work. So I have been working to try to get additional monies since, you know, the pot of monies is much larger, obviously, the state, to be able to allocate resources here in the place where we need it the most to try to work on getting more expanded services for people to be able to get to work. You can't lift people out of poverty if they can't get to work.
As I stood in the county building's second floor lobby, I looked around at the faces. White, black, Latino, Asian, African faces. I saw male and female faces, young and old faces. So with the 2 hours I had on my parking meter outside, I began to sit and talk with these individuals about the circumstances that brought them to the Department of Social Services, as well as the level of service provision they were receiving. For the sake of anonymity, each person I spoke with gives only his or her first name.
Travis. I'm originally from Binghamton. Came up here when I was about 6, though, and I've been in Syracuse ever since. I just completed a program, and I'm trying to get some temporary housing. Before it was for food stamps, but today it's kind of an emergency. You know, everybody's moved out of town and I really need a place to stay. I'm hoping they can help me out. I'm turning a new page, turning a new leaf, and trying to get back on my feet, you know what I mean? I went to school for culinary and hospitality management, so I love to cook. But along the way, I broke my shoulder, and I got addicted to painkillers and drinking. So it's been a rough journey, but I'm sober today, and I continue to continue that. I got three children, and I need to be there for them, and this is a fresh start.
Crystal is a resident of Syracuse.
Like I said, I'm a single mother, so I need child care, and I want to go to school. My kids need to go to school, so it's just, you know, I'm here to get the help that I need. I went through this process like when my first child was born. And, you know, sometimes you fall off and you might need some help. You can't do it all on your own, so it's pretty good that this is here.
Kristen recently arrived from Florida and explains how services have benefited her and her family.
My children and I recently were put on SNAP, so we were doing, you know, scanning through documentation for proof of income and verification, stuff like that. This is the first time that we've ever had to be on any kind of services. Just life happens and different things. So I went a couple months with trying to maintain on my own and, like, budget groceries on $50 a week, and it was really hard. And I just said, you know what, I'm going to apply, and, you know, luckily, you know, God is good and we qualified. So it's made a huge difference for our family, being able to know that I can feed them right now in this time. It's been very good. Like I said, this was something I never wanted to do. I wanted to put off, obviously. I thought it was going to be a pretty hard process. I thought that it was going to be long waits, but it wasn't. I did everything online. They got back to me as soon as possible, told me exactly what was needed. The kiosks here are very convenient. You can come in during your lunch break, scan through your documents that you need to, and then they process it and they contact you that way. So everybody's pretty kind, and the service has been good for me so far anyway.
Marjorie, Syracuse, New York. Okay. I was diagnosed with cancer November the 1st, 2017, and I've been out of work ever since. And through my job, I had the Excella Blue Cross Blue Shield, but all of that's running out the end of this month, and I need emergency Medicaid to get through my chemo. And I've never really been through this because I'm always worked. And I worked on my job for 11 years straight, no calling, not being late or nothing. So, and I don't think they treated me fair. Just want to get through my cancer. That's all. That's all on my mind is my cancer. I just want to get well.
Jennifer, I live in Salve. I'm just down here to try to get some child care. So I can start working. Well, I'm a single parent. I'm working 40 plus hours a week. With the summer coming up, I need daycare because she's obviously not going to be going to school. So I believe that they're going to help me. So hopefully they do.
Is this your first experience?
Yes. I get food stamps, but other than that, I get nothing else. So I'm hoping the child care will do some good for me.
Lydia from Syracuse, New York. Well, I was renting on South Salina and I was attacked by squirrels in my apartment. I had to be hospitalized, and now me and my kids are pretty much homeless, trying to find an organization to help us find security deposit to move into another place. The kids have been out without food, clothes, school, and everything for the past 3 weeks. I'm trying to find someone to help us. So far, it's no luck. Hopefully, I get some kind of help from them because I don't know where else to turn to.
While the assistance provided through the Department of Social Services are a result of federal and state mandates, Ann Rooney says there are efforts at the local level which bring better alignment to service delivery.
Everybody's push is to have the public benefit rolls be as low as possible. On the local level, we have the benefit of all of our community partners. They are mission-driven, and that's a little bit different than what government is doing. But having that partnership between county and our local providers, I think, makes it possible for the individual out there who's receiving public benefits, but also to have a community partner that they can rely on if there's barriers that they are not able to overcome themselves. There's a plethora of community partners that people can rely on. Is it enough? No, because we still have the highest concentration of poverty in the nation, which really for all of us, I think, is unacceptable. But again, it's housing, it's jobs, it's transportation. How do we knit this together to make this work better for our community?
In the end, public policy becomes a result of public will. And for OSHA, this requires the engagement of residents, especially at the ballot box.
The only thing that we can do at this point is to keep an eye, you know, on what's going on and make sure that those checks and balances are in systems. And if you have somebody that's supposed to be representing you in D.C. and they're not voting in your interests or your best interests or things that are reflective of your values, get them out of there. We have midterms coming up.
Professor Kingson agrees.
We need to register and get everyone possible to vote. When you look at the national numbers, I think it's something like 55% of white Americans and 33% of African Americans voted in the last elections. People have to speak for themselves. And if that happens, we'll change government. I don't want to paint this huge set of problems saying, oh, there's nothing we can do about it. We can do a lot about it in a lot of different ways. We can start teaching civics to our kids again. We can engage our kids, and we're seeing some of that in Florida in this national response. We can support the community organizations that have innovative ideas and passion to address concerns in their communities.
For City Limits, this is Brian Moore.
City Limits is a production of WAER, Syracuse Public Media, and is funded by generous grant support from the Central New York Community Foundation, Grossman St. Amour CPAs, National Grid, and listeners like you. To support the project, visit the City Limits About page at citylimitsproject.org. Stay tuned for more stories from this series and subscribe in iTunes for automatic delivery of new episodes.